What a way to open the service. Talking about the good news. Listen, we're here today to celebrate the good news. God has a plan for each one of us. You know, as believers, the most wonderful thing about Easter has to be the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Yes, for those who don't believe, he has risen. He's alive. Yes. God has raised him from the dead. Mm-hmm. The horrors of the cross has been laid to rest. Yes. The beating of the whip on his back has been silenced. Mm-hmm. The skeptics that have taken a seat, they sat down and they're now quiet. Surely the devil must be choking as he realized that the shaking of the earth is God's way of announcing his triumph over sin, over death. Mm-hmm. He has triumphed over the grave. Yes. Not even the stone that was put in front of the grave could contain him. Not even the wrap of the grave garment could have held him down. You see, Jesus had to come forth. Yes. In glorious triumph. Yes. You see, this was no ordinary day. The title of our message is simple: One Glorious Day. And we're going to be walking through Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. I hear pages turning, so I can wait. I'm in no hurry. Luke 24, 1 through 8. Those of you who don't have your Bibles, it will be up on the screen momentarily. See, if nothing else, I came to praise the Lord today, to thank him for what he has done for me. I don't know about you. I can't praise him for you, but I can praise him for me. Oh, yeah. From where he brought me from. Yes. See, some of you just want to sit quietly and let it all go by. Mm. But I got to tell you. I got to tell you what God has done for me. He's Amen. Brought me from some dark places. Woo. He has forgiven me of some sins that I can't forgive myself of.
Ooh, yes.
But he has forgiven me. Mm-hmm. So today I just want to talk about that glorious day. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8 reads this. It says, "Now, and if you're able, stand to your feet as we read his word." If you're able. Luke 24, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." Hallelujah. You see, you may be seated in his presence. You see, as we study Luke's account of all that transpired in the first day of the week, we will be inspired to see our Savior as he really is. We will look upon him and see ourselves as we will be. You see, as he already is, and how we will be.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. We will look on him and see ourselves as we will be, for we will be made alive in him. Mm-hmm. This is Christ, who by his Spirit dwells in us. He is the one who has changed us forever. Anybody in here been changed?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I've been changed. I don't want to be the person I used to be. You see, through his death on the cross, we have been forgiven of our sins, and through his resurrection, we have eternal life.
Yes. Eternal life.
You know, I was sharing with Minister Ron as we drove down here this morning. He was talking about he watched a few minutes of the Passion of the Christ, and how he couldn't bear to watch but a few minutes of it. You see, I told him to stay out of my sermon because it was in there. The thing is this, how many of you saw the Passion of the Christ? As they tell me, as I've studied, that movie did not portray what really happened to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
They could not show those images as he was,
yes,
on the screen,
yes,
because we could not take it.
Amen.
It was too much for us.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's the penalty that we all deserve for our sin.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't stand to see what happened to him.
Yes, yes.
A man that knew not sin. Died for sin, my sin. He died for my sin. I'm going to personalize it today.
Mm-hmm.
He died for me.
Yes.
Now, you can claim it if you want, but he died for me.
Yes,
he did. Hallelujah. If you're anything like me, every time I think about what my Lord went through, my heart becomes heavy. My eyes begin to water as tears run down my face as I realize what he did. He did it all for me so that I would not have to go through the death of sin. You see, that is the penalty for sin. It's death. And it doesn't say that it's a pretty death, where you're just going to close your eyes and go to sleep. It's going to be a tormenting death for those who do not believe. You see, it was something that he had to do to save me from all the evil that is in me and all the evil that's in this world.
Yes.
To give me hope for a better tomorrow. We were talking on the way down here. What if God said, son, you know what? You're right. It's too much for you. Come on home. There would be no death on the cross. There would be no resurrection, no rising from the dead. Where would we be? Where would you be? Where would I be? I don't want to think about that. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me.
Yes, sir.
You see, it was on that glorious day that he did that for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You see, let's take a look at that glorious day. It started out, it was just a normal day. There was something fresh about it. It represented a fresh beginning and a fresh start. There was something hopeful about it. It represented a new hope and fresh reason to get up and stand up. There was something promising about it. It represented a stark contrast to the ugliness of the days before. Oh, there was ugliness. There was something new about it. It represented a new beginning, an offer of a new beginning for each and every one of us, a chance for us to be forgiven of our sins. Our sins of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is a glorious day. It was a beginning. Then there was the women who were prepared for it. You see, they were in the right place. And they had the right attitude. They went to prepare the body of our Lord and Savior. A body that was not there. Mm-hmm. You see, they were the first witnesses of his resurrection. What a glorious day it was. And it's important to be reminded of how important of a position of positioning ourselves in the right place in order to see what God has in store for us. It wasn't by accident that you're here today. Marie is here because God put it on her heart to answer a call. I'm here because I answered a call. My wife's here because she answered a call. Leslie's here because she answered a call. Every one of you here are here because you answered a call. I heard somebody say, well, they would have been in bed if they weren't here. Well, guess what? You answered a call. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just being for real. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise God today.
Yes.
You see, as God's hallelujah. Listen, for so many people, church attendance has become an unnecessary interruption to the day's outing in the park.
Ooh, yes.
An unnecessary interruption. And that's so unfortunate because you must be here to receive the blessings that God has for you. The blessings that you miss by not being in God's house. How sad it would have been if those women had not been there on resurrection morning. Mm-hmm. You see, as they arrived at what was supposed to be the tomb that held the body of the one they followed, mm-hmm. what would have happened if they had not been on their post? Mm-hmm. But God had a plan. You see, it was supposed to be a tomb. And I looked at Merriam-Webster and defines a tomb in this way. It's an excavation in which a corpse is buried. It's a grave. A place of interment. A house, a chamber, or vault for the dead. A place for the dead, not the living. This seems to be an appropriate place to put the body that was taken from the cross just days before. They took a body off that cross. They put it in that grave. Because that's where you're supposed to put dead people, right? His so-called accusers had petitioned the governor to have a large stone rolled in front of the grave mm-hmm. and have it sealed mm-hmm. and place guards so that nobody could steal the body. But they couldn't have stole the body if they wanted to. Because God had a plan. On that glorious day, God had a plan. You see, they did all this just to make sure the body remained there. Can you say, but God?
But God.
But God had another plan for his son. Luke says in Luke 24 and 1, early in the morning, they and certain other women. But if you go look at Matthew 28 and 1, it says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Either way, it was the women who had come to prepare the body of Jesus to be permanently entombed. But what they found astonished these faithful women. What they found was that the stone had been rolled away. You see, the stone of unbelief had been shattered. The stone of fear had been removed. As God's word presents us with great facts concerning this miraculous raising up of our Savior by the power of God, so are we presented with a picture of a significance of the stone that was rolled away. The unbeliever who crucified our Savior really believed this stone could hold the King of the Jews down.
Yes.
But not so. The devil must have trembled in his boots when that stone was rolled away. The watchful soldiers were cast aside. And Jesus came up from the grave alive and well and completely whole. And with that stone went the fear of the human heart. Man's proverbial fear of life and the future of dying and death. You see, as believers, we should not have any fear of death.
Amen.
I tell you quite often, what is the worst thing this world can do to you? But send you home to be with your Father. What a glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. You see, what was rolled away with the stone? All our inhibitions and skepticism. All our doubts and fears. All our arguments and debates. All our false doctrines and religions. All our false gods and idols. Oh yeah, they were all rolled away with that stone on that glorious day. When the women entered the tomb, the body that they had come to prepare was gone. Luke 24 and 3 states, then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body was gone. Hallelujah. You see, death had lost its sting. The grave had lost its hold.
Yeah.
In one glorious moment, God stamped his authority over death and the grave.
Yeah.
The vast unknown called death suddenly lost its sting. This vague and dark shape of meaningless nothingness dissolved into light. Jesus came out of that tomb. All of a sudden, everything he had taught his disciples was true.
Yes.
There was life after death. The story about the rich man and Lazarus, you can go back and look at Luke 16, was not only accurate, but actually true. Mm-hmm. No wonder Jesus himself had told the story. He did not make it up. Not one person has died, is dead. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22 says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be made alive. Yes. Hallelujah. Made alive. If we look at verses 4 through 7, it tells us that as the women came out of the tomb, they were greatly perplexed by this. But behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. You see, two men stood by in shining garments. You see, the fifth point of this glorious day was that the angels were present to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. You see, the angels spoke. They really did have something to say. They had made an announcement. They preached the gospel, and they kept the focus. It would seem that this message spoken by the angels was steadfast and true. You see, if we look at Hebrews 2 and 2, it says this. It says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. It is worth listening to because they were explaining what just happened on that glorious day. Just like they had done so many times before, these special representatives of God appeared with one purpose in mind. They knew that on the third day, Jesus would raise by the power of the Almighty God, for it was foretold, listen to this, it was foretold some 700 years before. And it's recorded in the scriptures. If you don't believe me, go look at Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 9. And it reads like this. It said, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich that his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. No deceit. He didn't deserve to be up there on that cross. On this glorious day, You see, it had to happen. From the time our Lord escorted Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, this day had to happen because of his love for you and me.
Amen.
It just had to happen. Just to be transparent, Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. And in Luke 22, he even asked, if it's possible, let this thing that were these things that were predestined to occur pass him by. But he knew the answer. He knew the answer. He had to climb up on that cross. Luke 22, verses 22 and 44 says this, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Even before he was taken to judgment, he was suffering. He did that for you and I. On that glorious day, as all believers, this day, what he did washed away our sins.
Amen.
Do you believe? I say over and over again that if you do not believe in something, you will fall for anything.
Yes.
Do you really believe? Jesus has risen. He is risen. Indeed. And his resurrection really does impact your life. Have you responded to his sacrifice on your behalf? If so, are you living in the power of his resurrection? Have you surrendered all to him? All your doubts and all your fears? Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this day, Lord God. We thank you and praise you, Lord, because you are so worthy. All that you have done for us, Lord God, how you allowed your son to go to that old rugged cross, that tree where they spread him wide, Lord God. And there they said he died. But you had another plan for him. You had another plan for us, Lord God. You see, we know that on the third day you rose him up, Lord God, as you rolled that stone away, declaring all power. Father, we just thank you and praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you allowed the Holy Spirit into this place today, Lord God. To you be the glory. Now have your way in us. Have your way through us, Lord God. Keep us safe. Keep us focused on you. For it is truly all about you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And